you already have the tools to hire new millennials at your agency, but the process itself could use some tweaking. OPM's been working on that for a while now. Some agencies have special exceptions to make some new hires, and giving every agency the same flexibility could make a big difference in that area. Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. He has a few suggestions in a document called Building the Enterprise, a New Civil Service Framework. Tim, we have a link to this at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But as I went through this, I was struck by the fact that all of the people who are stakeholders in this agree on the issue that we need to tackle, which is identifying people who are going to be great federal employees and getting them in. And then it seems to all go awry from there. Everybody goes in a million different directions. Is that a fair read, do you think?
I think that is a fair read, and it's an understandable read as well, because I think, you know, in order to do that, you've got to upset a little bit of the apple cart of those folks who are already in government as well. And I think that's the challenge here, which is you're trying to create, we now have to, I think, look at, and the partnership believes and has put forward this framework that says, you know what, civil service that was created a long time ago, and most of the civil service laws and regulations that now govern the way that we pay employees and the way that we bring employees into government were created at least 60 or 70 years ago now, and times have changed. But at the same time, you've got to look at that within the context of those who are already in government and make sure that they're being treated fairly as change goes about and occurs as well.
Now, the solution that you're proposing here is to allow agencies to do some things that some agencies can do now, but not all of them can, to be able to bring these people in. There are 8 steps that you and your colleagues at the partnership write about that would that detail how this process would work. We don't have time to go through all 8, but there are a couple of them I want to ask you about, and I don't even know if you can answer the question, because most of the time the question is, why haven't we done this already? The first one is building a state-of-the-art job applicant assessment system, and I guess OPM is trying. We've gotten away from the KSA system that is one of the remnants, as you're talking about, you know, 60 years old, and it seems to be a step in the right direction, but it's not by any means the entire deal.
Right, and I think this is one of those things where, again, I think most agencies and most employees and most job applicants will not argue with this. The question is, how do you do this in a way that actually assesses for the right skills? So it requires, again, something that you and I have talked about a lot, is really understanding what it takes to do the job. But clearly, one of the challenges that government agencies have right now, and it doesn't matter whether you're applying for a GS-14 position or you're applying for an internship program through the new pathways programs, is we have an issue of volume. There are a lot of people who are interested in government. There are a lot of people who are applying for government positions. How do you sort through and differentiate the wheat from the chaff? And the way that you do that is through good, solid assessment programs. And again, you can write a great job announcement. You can put it out there. But ultimately, on the agency side, on government side, if we can't actually assess for the right skills, we're always going to have this question of, are the people who ultimately make the cert that hiring managers then get to select from, are those really the best qualified people? Are those really the best of the best? Or are those folks who simply made it through a system that maybe wasn't assessing for the right skill set or what have you? So I think clearly, in order to do that, you know, it takes dollars and cents, but it also takes a lot of really hard work to say, what are really the competencies and the skills that are most important for that job? And they're gonna vary from job to job, and that's actually part of the challenge with creating a really state-of-the-art assessment program.
And I think the good news on that is, yes, it does take money, but the hard work is more important, and that's one thing that some agencies should be able to pull off a little bit better than finding the money. Another step in how this would work that you write about, Tim, is creating cross-agency best qualified applicant pools. Now, you and I have talked about this topic before, where this is all right now almost completely stovepiped, isn't it?
It is completely stovepipe, and in fact, by law, for the most part, and again, I'm speaking in generalities here, but for the most part, by law, Agency X, who actually is looking for an acquisition specialist and actually has three outstanding folks, but can only hire one, cannot simply provide those applications for the other two to Agency Y, who is also looking for the exact same acquisition specialist. Instead, Agency Y has to go out, they have to have their own assessment in place, and they have to go through the process. Now, that's not encouraging for the applicant, nor are we across government really looking at like and similar skills and saying, how do we, again, get the best people in for that type of job? So again, what we're proposing here is look at something where it is very similar positions, an acquisition specialist, a budget analyst, where they're doing essentially the same work. And if they make the cert in one and in fact, are go through the interview process and somebody says, well, I can choose A or I can choose B, I'm going to choose A in this case, but I could choose B, why can't Agency Y pick up the other candidate who was equally qualified and again was the best qualified on somebody else's cert without having to establish a process that again is going to take them at least 80 days, if not more.
You're writing about in this document, Building the Enterprise, a new civil service framework that's linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, about the steps to giving agencies more flexibilities, common flexibilities across the government. And we're working through with Tim McManus the steps and how this would work. And Tim, when I read this one made me a little nutty, I have to confess. Currently, former federal employees who have held a career or career conditional position may be non-competitively reinstated to a position within the federal government, but only to a job that is at or below the grade level they last held the federal government. For example, a junior software programmer who leaves as a GS-7 and goes on to become a lead programmer for Google can be reinstated only as a GS-7, even though he or she may qualify at a much higher level. I guess my question, rather than why can't we change this, is who could change it? What does it take to change something like that? Is that something that somebody does at the agency level? Is that something OPM has to do? Or is that something that Congress has to do?
So the answer is really, unfortunately, individual agencies, unfortunately, really can't do that. And the only way individual agencies could do that is to get special authorization from OPM or get things written in to appropriation language for them. So it is a legislative action that needs to take place on that front. And again, as you said, you know, why would that happen? And clearly we've talked about, Francis, the ability for people to come and go into government, the flow in and out, that we're not going to, particularly as we're talking about millennials as well, but even if you're talking about mid-career folks, you may get a great mid-career person into your agency right now because time and place, this is the right job for them. But in a few years, they may decide, you know, time and place it's not, but they want to come back again. Again, the system right now is not set up to be advantageous to them or even to the agency. I don't think any agency can really sit back and say, yeah, we're going to lose a junior program person, computer program folks, to Google and ever expect that we're going to get them back if we can't bring them in at a different level. And that would go for anything just based on experience. So what's amazing to me is for an entity like the government who focuses so much on level of experience, this is one of those areas that we really fall short on.
There's one more I want to ask you about in the time we have left, and that's expanding the role and use of internships in the federal government. That one's going to be a hard sell, Tim, because the unions already don't like the level of use of internships in the federal government.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I really don't think it's a hard sell because ultimately, you know, if you look at an intern, and again, we've had this conversation repeatedly, really what this is just a reiteration of things that are in there. And I think what we have to continue to do through all of these conversations about how do we get good talent in is kind of beat the drum and on the use of internships. There is no, if we want to talk about assessments and the way to assess for quality, particularly again using internships as an entry level pipeline. If you can bring somebody in, you can give them the test drive. They actually have an opportunity to figure out whether or not it's the right fit for them, both skill-wise and fit-wise. And the agency gets to figure out, is this the right person skill-wise, knowledge-wise, and fit-wise? There's no better way to assess talent than actually seeing it on the job. That actually kind of addresses some of the assessment issue that government has a problem with, but also really looks at this within the context of bring somebody in, build them, develop them, grow them. And again, the Pathways programs actually already provide that opportunity for more enhanced use of internships. We just need to make good on the promise of Pathways.
Good to talk to you as always. And you know what? I don't have a dinger for you this week when you say Pathways. We're not playing the game this time, but kudos to you for working it in. Tim McManus, Vice President of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, Francis.